Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. All great things. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm very excited about this week's show because my special guest interview is with Dr. Gene Hurlburt. And Gene is an expert at how to get and use social proof to market and grow your business. Gene is a very smart woman, and I'll let you know that this show went a little bit long, probably going to be about 42 minutes or so, because the content that Gene was sharing was so powerful, I just couldn't cut it off at 30 minutes. So hang in there. This is going to be a very, very powerful show. Let's get right to my interview with Dr. Gene Hurlburt.
Let me tell you a little bit about Gene. Gene's unusual in this business because she has a PhD in sociology, and she served on the faculty of Louisiana State University for more than 20 years. Gene helps you become the chief business intelligence officer in your own company. She's done that for $100 million companies like Tatum, for the Tony Robbins companies. She's worked with marketers like Andy Jenkins and Don Crowther, and for three New York Times bestsellers, including John Assaraf, by the way. But her passion is taking big business ideas and scaling them to help entrepreneurs and solopreneurs get the business intelligence that they need, and she's making a difference in my business as well. Now, because of the research that she's done, she's been featured or quoted in such media as the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, USA Today, the LA Times, Oprah and Friends, smallbusiness.com, Forbes, Monster, just to name a few. I think also US News and World Report, I saw her in Smart Money, Christian Science Monitor, a whole bunch of ABC News. We go on and on. Gene is the author of the forthcoming book, Connection 2X, Double the Connection with Your Customers to Double Your Business. It is about the science of surveys and how you can use them to get the proof you need to skyrocket your conversions, create exactly the products your customers want, and cash in on the conversion. So, Gene, thank you very much for being our guest expert today. Welcome to our call.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. So how did you get involved with helping businesses get the proof that they need?
Well, you know, I was in academia for more than 25 years, and I loved what I did. My husband's also a sociologist. We were in the same department. We did research together. We had great colleagues and friends and a wonderful life. But like a lot of other things, academia has really changed, and there were budget cuts that made things uncertain. So I decided I needed to go out and see what I could do on my own. And out of that, as you said, I've gotten the privilege to work with amazing folks. And what I've realized as I've worked with all those companies is very few businesses really have a solid system in place to get the proof they need. And when I started helping companies put those systems in place, I realized the huge difference it can make. And so what I decided to do was take those techniques out there so more companies could start using these systems, because getting this proof in your business can be simple if you know how to use the art and science to do it. It really can make a huge difference for your business, and that means a huge difference for your family.
Awesome. So why is it so important for a business to have proof, you know, and how can they use that to differentiate themselves in the market?
Well, that's a great question. Research shows one of the biggest predictors of business success is being able to differentiate your business in the market. So being able to set yourself apart from your competitors. And almost nothing does that as effectively as social proof. Now, the reason it differentiates you is that most of your competitors won't have that proof. I know that because of surveys we've done in our businesses. When we survey business owners, we find more than 80% have fewer than 10 testimonials on their website or blogs. More than 60% have fewer than 5 case studies. virtually none of you have statistical data proving that your products and services work. So what that means is you've got a clear sailing here. If you get those vital forms of proof, you really will stand out from your competitors. And if you don't get it, the simple reason is if you don't have this proof, if you don't have at least 15 testimonials on your website, your blog, or your sales page, if you don't have at least 5 case studies, if you don't have statistical data showing 90% of your customers, clients, or patients would recommend you, 95% of them are satisfied, you're leaving a third or more of your revenue on the table. So those are compelling reasons that you need this proof. But to make it clearer, just think about what happens when you are looking to purchase a product or you're going to hire somebody. Suppose you're going to go hire a consultant for your business and you find one who has 10 glowing testimonials. And that might seem really good until you find a second one who has 100 testimonials and 15 case studies that describe exactly how the consultant produced results and statistical data showing 98% of her clients are satisfied and 90% would recommend her. Well, which one would you hire? The chances are good you're going to choose the one who gives you the most proof. And your prospective customers, clients, and patients aren't any different. So you've got to give them this proof to get conversions.
You know, but Gene, isn't the reason most businesses don't have this proof the fact that it's like really difficult to get? I mean, I am a big firm believer in testimonials and things like that, but it does take a lot of work to call people up and ask for testimonials or, you know, I have to constantly remind myself and my team who are in communication with my clients and stuff to, you know, to make sure they get these kind of resources that we can use.
That's right. And if that's what you're doing, if you're using your staff or you're calling them up yourself, it's a ton of work. But there's a better way to do that. When you put a system in place to do it for you, it doesn't have to be expensive, difficult, or time-consuming to get it. You don't have to beg people. You don't have to eat up your staff time. And, you know, lots of businesses, including some really big ones, are either not getting the proof or they're burning out their sales teams using them to gather testimonials. And the better way is to use a system to do it with surveys. And we've proven that it works because we've got what we call a testimonial generator in a survey that's gotten 868 testimonials with permission to use them inside a survey. So I'm going to show you how we did that today, and I'm going to tell you about how we documented one of our clients' phenomenal transformation that she produces with her clients in just 3 days. And getting that proof led to more than $70,000 in sales for her.
Holy smokes. So how did you do that?
Well, we did it all with surveys, but we didn't do it by throwing together some questions in SurveyMonkey or grabbing one of their templates because that's a fast way to turn your customers away. I'm going to tell you how to avoid that. I'm going to tell you at the end of the interview how to avoid what we call survey suicide because if you do this the wrong way, it really could alienate your customers and it'll kill your business. But what we teach people how to do is use surveys to connect with people. So we use the art and the science I've developed over 25 years of doing this so that people are happy to give us proof. And you can use surveys to connect with people if you do them the right way. The reason most people think of surveys as the S word and people don't want to take them is most business owners don't do them well. They don't make it about the customer. And surveys are just like marketing. You know, you send out these surveys at screen, it's all about us. It's like saying, give me the information, I need to make more money. But if you make it about them, you make it feel like a conversation for your customers, then you build a connection, you build a tribe that loves you. So here's a story about how powerful this is. I was at an event maybe a year ago, and I'm at a lunch that's sponsored by the people who are hosting the event, and I'm talking to a woman. She didn't know that I had written a survey for that company recently when she said, you know, I took this survey and that I would have told them anything, including my physical address, because that survey made them feel like they cared about me. Well, you know, that made me feel wonderful because I wrote the survey. And it's not easy to achieve that, but if you can, you've got absolute gold. And that's when you're going to have this proof coming in on autopilot.
I bet your face was beaming. You were probably trying to contain your enthusiasm.
Yeah, I was trying to find my video camera so I could get it on tape.
So let's get down to the business of how you build let's call it a proof system in your business to ramp up your revenues.
Great. Well, the first thing you need to learn is you need to think about surveys as one of the basic systems and processes in your business. This is just a proof system in your business. Now, we know that most of the people out there need that proof because anywhere from 60 to 80% of you say in surveys that you need to increase your conversions. And if you're one of those folks, here's what you need to do. Every product you sell or every service you deliver in your business should have a survey attached to it going out on autopilot. So just going out through an autoresponder. And that will get you three forms of proof. Number one is testimonials, stories that sell in your customer's own words. The second is case studies, which are your description of how your product or service got results for your customer, your client, or your patient. And the third is statistical data. And those are really the gold standard. That's irrefutable quantitative proof that most of your competitors won't have.
Wow. So let's start with testimonials because that's really the bedrock of what a business needs. You know, I think most folks know they should have testimonials, but most of them just aren't getting them. How can you help them, Gene?
You're right. Now, I've already told you our testimonial generator has gotten 868 testimonials with permission to use them. And that was a cool story because that client had interest from a major CEO. He had all these testimonials printed out and bound. It was like 160 pages. And he took them in to show to the CEO, and the CEO was blown away. So, you know, think about the thud when that bound volume of testimonials landed on the CEO's desk. That's impressive. It's super easy to get testimonials if you use the right system to get them. But here's the backstory on that client. They had a big list. They had raving fans. They should have had case studies and testimonials galore. But every time they'd gone out to ask for testimonials, they got next to nothing. And, you know, that's an all-too-common story. Even when people try to get testimonials by using surveys, they fall short because they don't ask the right way. It was the art and science of hitting the combination of questions that worked, and that's what we've developed from all the years of doing this. And it really works well for any business. Now, you can't say my business is different. It won't work because it will. And the reality is all sorts of businesses fall short on getting testimonials. It's not just the small companies that miss the boat. I worked with a $100 million company that does corporate turnarounds. So, in other words, they take a company that's circling the drain, and they help them survive and become more profitable. So think about that. I mean, they should have tons of testimonials and case studies. They should just have these wonderful stories of saving these companies, but instead they just had a paltry handful because they didn't have a system for getting them. And that was a $100 million company. So contrast that story with the story of one of our customers. It's a tiny little e-commerce store that sells picture frames. And they knew they weren't doing as well as they should have been doing, so they worked with us to put a survey in place. And now, thanks to this simple system that we put in place in about 48 hours, now 10 days after her product ships, a survey goes out automatically. So now she has 15 to 20 testimonials a month coming in on absolute autopilot. No staff time, no picking up the phone, no nothing. And it's absolutely transformed their business. So think about the difference. They're getting more testimonials in a single month than I saw on the website of that $100 million company. That's why these systems are so powerful, because they level the playing field. So what I want to do is just look closely at three different kinds of testimonials, if that's okay, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, Gene, but I got to ask you, I mean, I know you're a good friend. I know you live down there in Louisiana. Is this some kind of Louisiana voodoo? I mean, how is it that you're able to get testimonials so easily in a company when they had tried before and failed?
Well, it's not voodoo, I promise. There is some of that stuff in Louisiana, but I don't do that stuff. It's actually that combination I referred to a minute ago of putting the art and the science together. The science is really important. That's where all the training and all the PhD voodoo, that's in the 25 years of experience I've got using surveys. But I'm going to tell you the truth. The way I came up with this testimonial generator, comes as much from something I learned from my father as it does from all that science. So ever since I was a kid, I learned to listen for information and watch people's reactions to make a connection. I learned it from my father, who was a country banker in a small farming community.
You know, you are from a really small town. I remember you're telling me that.
Yep. I'm from a place called Sunbury, North Carolina. You don't live in a huge place in Pennsylvania, I don't think. But I'm from Sunbury, North Carolina, and it's a town of 200 and a county of 9,000. And my father knew everybody from the car dealer to the struggling farmer. And I can remember one guy saying that my father gave him a mortgage when nobody else would take a chance on him. And the reason my father did that was he took the time to know that guy and figure out he was trustworthy. And it made a huge difference for that guy's family. But you know what? This was not the days of freewheeling loans. My father actually had one of the best loan ratios of any bank around. He was a really sharp business guy, but the secret to his success was business intelligence. He knew that guy. He knew he could take a chance on that guy, and he knew when not to take a chance. That business intelligence was his secret weapon, and that was the key to his success. He served people well because he knew them well. He took the time to know them well, and that's the secret to our system. You can get business intelligence like he had, and that's my secret weapon in the system, and I actually learned it as much from my father as I did from what I learned getting a PhD. So when I started thinking about how to get testimonials in a survey, I drew on the science. And I also drew on what I learned about the art of connecting back in that little community, and that's why this works so well.
Wow. So that's really great, Gene. Let's talk a little more in depth about the different types of testimonials and how you can use them, as you alluded to a couple minutes ago.
Okay. Well, my friend Henry Evans, he's the Our Day entrepreneur. You know Henry.
I know him really well.
He talks about three different kinds of testimonials, one that delivers feelings, One that connects with people emotionally, testimonials that overcome objections, and the third is testimonials that talk about results. I don't really have time to go into all three in detail, so I want to focus on one of the most important, and that's the outcome testimonials. Now, these are the toughest to get. And in addition to being tough to get, there's another big issue, which is you can get in trouble with the FTC if you don't use these properly and if you don't have the evidence you need to back them up. But I'm going to show you a foolproof way to get them without getting into trouble. Okay, so first, the disclaimer, I'm not a lawyer. You want to be really careful and check with your attorney. But what I do know, and I have talked to some attorneys about this, is the FTC ruling on testimonials works like this. It says if you're going to talk about results in testimonials, you have to be able to say what average results are among people who used your product, your service, or your program. And guess what? Most business owners don't know what average results are because they aren't measuring it. That's where you can get ahead of the pack. Go ahead and get the outcome testimonial. And here's how you get them. Prompt people to tell you whether they got results from your product or your program and what those results were. Now, you don't want to lead people, okay? So what you want to, we want to be totally ethical here. But we ask for testimonials in a way that focuses people on any results they would have gotten, okay? So what you're going to do is ask them something like, you know, what were your results from using this product? And you can even prompt them with a couple of cues. Again, you don't want to put any words in their mouth, but you want to focus them on the results. Not everybody will have gotten results, and that's okay. But some will. And if you structure the request properly, you're going to find those people. It's like having the right bait to find the fish you want. And in this case, the fish are the people who got the results. Now, once you get those outcome testimonials, you've also got to measure the results using statistical techniques I'm going to talk about in a couple of minutes. Those statistical data, when you put them together, will prove what the typical or average results are. So if the FTC ever showed up and you had to justify those outcome testimonials, you'd be able to do it. So now you've got your outcome testimonials and you've got the data to show what the average or typical results were. Now the ROI on doing this is just huge. I had two clients who were in the golf space and they were about to launch their product and they didn't have any proof. Their list only had about 200 people on it. So they're going, you know what, we can't get proof out of that list. They knew without the proof their launch would fail. So we decided to give it a try. Out of that list of 200, we got 35 testimonials they could use in their launch, and it absolutely changed the game. So that's powerful ROI, and it proves you don't need a big list to get results. Okay.
Wow. That's phenomenal. You know, it is. I have always said that it's not the size of the list. It's how responsive it is. It's the relationship you have with them. So what is the second form of proof? Is that case studies?
Yep. The second one is case studies. And case studies, it's like a little story that describes where people were and what kind of problems they were facing before they used your product or service, how you came to know them and how you worked together, and then third, step by step, what you did for them and what results they achieved. Now think about that story I just told you about Greg and Gary, the guys in the golf niche. I told you what their problem was, and I told you how we solved it for them with a simple survey and the results it got for them. That's the model for a case study in a nutshell. That's all there is to it. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that. If you really want to describe carefully and in depth what the exact problem was and your process for solving it. The idea here is you want to build tension. It's just like a story or a novel. You're going to introduce them to the hero. You're going to make the reader want to know what happens and whether the hero gets off the cliff or survives the hurricane or whatever. And what you're doing in the case study is you're introducing them to your customer or your client or your patient. You're showing them all the problems or challenges that person had when they came to you. Then you show them the results this client or customer got, how your process solve the problem or ease the pain. That's why these are absolute goals, okay? And I can give you a template that shows you exactly how to get them.
That's great. You know, case studies really are powerful, particularly, I think, for coaches and consultants, right? So what's the third kind of proof? Is that, I think you said, statistical data? And how can, yep. you know, how can your average entrepreneur get that kind of proof from, you know, without spending a fortune?
Well, they can get it really cost-effectively, and it's worth the effort because this is really the gold standard that shows your product or your service works. So think about how powerful these statistical data are from it. If you can show 85% of your customers are now ranking on page one of Google where they were nowhere to be found before they used your program, or the coaching program took 90% of them from failure to triumph, or 98% were satisfied with the product, that's powerful proof. And when you put these three forms of proof together, when you have testimonials that are in your customers, clients, or patients' own words, you have case studies, your compelling stories of how you brought them back from the brink, and when you add on to that statistical data that document the results you've gotten with, you know, cold, hard facts, that's incredibly powerful because it lets you appeal to people's logic and to their emotions. You know, we actually had a battle going on in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where I live, between an insurance company and a hospital. And the insurance company ran two commercials back-to-back. The first one had this heart-rending story of this woman whose child almost died, and the insurance company made sure her daughter got the life-saving care she needed. And on the heels of that commercial, they ran a second commercial that said, did you know that only 49 cents of every dollar that's paid to this hospital goes to patient care? Where does the rest go? So the first commercial is appealing to people's logic, emotions, and the second is appealing to their logic. It's really powerful to do both, and that's why you want to get all three forms of proof, and you can do it from one simple survey. All right, so let's talk about the statistical data. They really do come in on autopilot. All you need to do is give folks a survey when they start your coaching program and one when they finish. So maybe you send one out, you know, 10 days after they enroll or 10 days after they buy your product. And then when they finish the program or they finish using the product, you do a second survey. And we've got customers doing that right now and transforming their business in the process. It's so powerful. It's the most underused form of proof there is because most people don't know how to get it. So let me tell you about the three different forms of statistical proof. It's satisfaction data, it's results data, and it's before and after models.
Oh, that's, Gene, that's great. You know, because this has always seemed kind of really complicated, you know, something only big companies can do. So this, I'm finding this really fascinating. So if you have a way for kind of little guys or, you know, small business owners to get this form of proof, I think that's awesome.
All right, we're going to pause here for a very brief timeout, but on the other side, Dr. Gene has a lot more information to share about using social proof in your business, and on the end of the interview, she's going to give you some terrific free resources. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this, "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better. Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
And we are back. Let's get right back to my very powerful interview with Dr. Jean Hurlburt.
Yeah, no, it can be really simple. So let's start with satisfaction data, because every business can and should have satisfaction data. It doesn't matter what kind of business it is. Lots of businesses gather satisfaction data, but frankly, most of them don't do it very well. You should be getting two key types of satisfaction measures. The first is general or global satisfaction measures. So things like, how satisfied are you with our product or our service overall? Now, you got to know something about these measures. They tend to have what the survey geeks call a positive skew. In other words, they're a little bit inflated, because what you're doing is you're asking people to think about a whole bunch of different things, like the price of your product, how easy it was to use, how well it worked, and you ask them to average all that into an overall score. And that's hard for people to do. So what they do is they kind of punt. And that's why these overall measures may be a little bit high. But that's okay. That means you just need to know that when you look at the measures. And it also means they're likely to be good measures to use in your marketing, because they're likely to be a little bit high. But it also means that you need to include the second kind of satisfaction measures, the specific measures. You need these global measures that give you evaluations overall, and the specific measures that target into more fine-grained things. So when I build a satisfaction survey, it's a really simple model. I just funnel down from the general measures to the specific measures, because that's really logical for your customer, right? You start with the overall question and then ask more specific ones. Now, the other reason for doing that, aside from the fact it makes sense to your customer, is you don't want to contaminate those general measures with the specific ones, avoiding what the geeks call context effects. So let me explain what I mean by that. All right, suppose you're a dentist. You don't want to start out by asking whether they had pain and then ask how satisfied they were overall. Because if they were in pain, you just made them think about pain. Even if they weren't in pain, you made them think about pain. And now they're going to think about pain when they answer that overall satisfaction question, and it's going to be lower than it would otherwise be. So what you want to do then is you put that general question first, then ask the specific question. So ask the overall question, then maybe ask if they were greeted by name when they came in the office, if the office environment was pleasant, then were they ever in pain, that kind of stuff, right? So that's how you can put the general and specific measures together really, really easily. Now, the reason these specific satisfaction measures, the stuff about, you know, was environment pleasant and were they greeted by name, the reason that you want those things in there is if your overall satisfaction isn't as high as you'd like, these more specific measures are going to unlock the key to why that's the case. They can help you understand where you need to improve to bring the overall numbers up. So if you've got a grumpy receptionist that's irritating people, that may be the reason that your overall numbers aren't good. It may not have anything to do with you, and you need to know that. If your overall numbers are good, you still might identify some things you can tweak to make your business even better. Now, this is how you build purple cows in Seth Godin's terms. This is how you become truly exceptional, by constantly getting this kind of feedback and using it to improve your business. So that's the first form of statistical data, satisfaction measures. And I've shown you how you need to get the general measures and the specific measures. The second type of statistical data is results measures. Those are data that document outcomes.
Wow, I'm still spinning from what you just told me. That's really great. By the way, when you mentioned grouchy receptionist, I could think of a company or a doctor's office or two I want to refer you to, see if you can help them out. But oh my goodness, you know, I want to hear about these, you know, these kind of outcomes, results, measures, you know, that you're talking about, particularly since they're so critical for keeping you out of trouble with the FTC. And, you know, I don't want people, you know, because most of my community is entrepreneurs and small businesses. I don't want anybody thinking they're under the radar. I've heard stories where the FTC is going after people that aren't even big players. They're just trying to make a name for themselves, it almost seems like.
It happens. And, you know, like I said, I'm not an attorney, but if you're using these outcome testimonials, you need these statistical data that let you say what typical or average results are. Now, measuring results can be tough. These are probably some of the more sophisticated measures that you have in surveys. This is not, you know, grab stuff from SurveyMonkey. But what you need to do is think about the benefits of your product or service. So what do you talk about? Jim, you teach people wonderfully well how to write marketing copy and how to focus on benefits instead of features. So think about that copy. What do you say your product or your service can do for your customers, your patients, or your clients? What's your big fat promise, okay? Frankly, the process of thinking about that is going to make your marketing copy better. Start out with a brain dump. Just list all the core benefits of your product, your service, or your program. Don't worry about, you know, how good it is or whether anything's redundant right now. Just dump it all down and then hone that big list down and clean it up. Those are the things you want to measure to see to what extent your customers, your clients, or your patients got those results. What you want to do at the end is boil it down to maybe 6 or 8 key things. And, you know, you're going to see a lot of things that can kind of be fit together into one rubric. Now, here's a big tip. Particularly if you're selling information products or if you're a coach or consultant, you probably find a lot of your clients and customers fail to take action. Well, that's important, because you don't want to measure results among the people who didn't do anything. They aren't relevant because they didn't use the product. So if you're selling weight loss products, chances are good those folks didn't lose any weight because they didn't use your system, okay? You need to leave those people out so they don't negatively skew your data. In other words, they don't pull the numbers down artificially. Here's how you do that. Before you ask the questions about results, include a question in your survey that says something like this. We know not everybody gets around to using a product. How about you? What percent of the strategies would you say you use? And you give them a series of categories. Now, this is really important. We did this for Don Crowder. He's this guy who's a wizard at helping people make money with social media. And we were able to show among the people who used at least 75% of Don's strategies, practically everybody made money. So this is a simple way to make sure that you're measuring things accurately. All right, now the third form of proof is probably the most powerful. We've talked about satisfaction data, looking at general and specific. We've talked about results data. And now we're talking about a specific kind of doing results data, which is transformation. Right, this is going to work for you if you've got a product or service that takes somebody from point A to point B. So if you're a coach or consultant, for example, you should absolutely be getting this next form of proof. And here's what's cool. This before and after survey that documents the transformation of your clients, your customers, or your patients can also gather testimonials, statistical data, and results. So you do it all in one little system. Okay? So what this means is you're going to be getting information efficiently in two surveys, so you're not hammering your customers with lots of different surveys because you don't want to do that. Okay, this before and after model is a really basic, simple, fundamental model of surveys, but it's one that almost no business uses. I mean, I don't think I've met a single business owner when I go into work with them who's using it until they become our client or they become our customer. So once I explain to people what this can do, and when I put it to work for them, their first reaction is they just sit there and don't say anything. They can't believe how simple it is. And then they're slapping themselves on the forehead wondering why they hadn't heard about this before now. So to teach you how to do this, let's talk about how we used a before and after survey for one of my clients. She's a woman who teaches you how to be an instant celebrity. She brings people in. She shows people how to do their hair and their makeup. She produces professional still photos for them. She actually films them, makes promotional videos, and teaches them how to be present and poised in video and in media interviews.
Jean, this doesn't sound like a program where you could actually measure results, though. I mean, how could you prove the results that she gets? Somehow, like, document the transformation? I mean, it sounds kind of squishy to me.
Well, in a sense, it was squishy. You know, but with this science, you can measure just about anything. So here's what we did, Jim. This client, what we did for her, just give you a backstory here, by the way, was really important, because what happened was she had invested six figures in a program from one of the major marketers. Now, he was going to promote her product, but he was only going to do it if she came up with proof that the squishy product worked, right? So here's the thing. This was a huge sacrifice for her and her family to invest in that program. It was all on the line for her. If she didn't have any proof, she didn't get the promotion, she didn't get any money, and they cleaned out their 401k to invest in this program. All right, so here's what we did. We created 17 measures of proficiency. How good were these people on the things she was teaching? And the scale went from 1 to 10. So if you scored a 7, that meant you were minimally proficient. You had the basic skill in doing a video or being in an interview or whatever it was, okay? So we took all the people that were coming to her Instant Celebrity Academy, we gave them the survey, gave them those 17 measures to see if they were minimally proficient or they were really good or what. And here's what we found. The average scores were 4s and 5s. All right, so they averaged a 7, minimally proficient, on only 2 of those 17 things.
So, okay, I'm getting a little bit lost. So you're saying they didn't have the basic skills at all when they came in?
That's right. So we had these 17 measures of the things she taught, and they got 4s and 5s on everything except 2 measures. Okay, so it's saying, okay, they're not good at this. We documented that they were nowhere where they needed to be when they came in with those measures, right? So now we've got scientific proof of where they were coming in. So after the event, we just gave them another survey, and it had those 17 measures plus 10 additional measures to see if they made any progress, okay? So same set of things, you know, how well do you do this, 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 and this, okay? What we found this time was they were now highly proficient. They were scoring 8s and 9s where they were scoring 4s and 5s before, not only on those 17 measures, but also on 10 additional measures. Okay, so think about this for a minute. What we've done is we've shown statistically here's where they were when they came in, here's where they were when they finished. We documented this dramatic transformation that she produced in just 3 days, taking people from nowhere near proficient to highly proficient in 3 days. And again, we weren't just saying this is what we saw. Now we've got scientific data that document the transformation. That's powerful proof that her stuff works. We also got testimonials from everybody at the event, so powerful stories of how incredible the transformation was. We got the statistical data not only of the transformation, but we also were able to show that 100% of the people who came were satisfied, 100% would recommend the program to a friend. That's how you get all three forms of proof in one survey, and it's really amazing. Okay, now, what happened with her was the proof paid off with something like $70,000 in sales. And proof like this will pay off in sales, in conversions, in big increases to your bottom line.
Wow. You know, you mentioned both stories, like you get from testimonials and quantitative proof. Which is more powerful, the stories or the stats?
You know, Jim, I think it's a really good question. And I think the power comes from putting them together. So here's an example. After Hurricane Katrina, and we know, you know, we've had Hurricane Sandy recently, but after Hurricane Katrina, I was on a team that helped the Army Corps of Engineers understand the social effects of Katrina. And I did tons of media interviews, and everybody kept asking me why people didn't evacuate. And there are two numbers that give the seed of the whole story. It was the number of people who didn't have cars and the number of people who were caring for the aged or the infirm. Okay, so those people were trapped. And that's really the story of all the horror in the convention center and the Superdome, the story of all the lives that were lost, the people that were never accounted for, the story of all the people who were evacuated to Idaho and Houston and Arkansas, all the connections that were severed, and, you know, lives that will never really be fully restored. Now, you need to put the numbers and the stories together in your business just the way I just did. Because reading off the numbers about Katrina doesn't mean as much until I start talking about what they meant, until I make you remember those scenes from the Superdome and the Lower Ninth Ward. Business intelligence isn't just numbers. It's using the numbers and the stories together to get to the heart of who your folks are and what they want so you can serve them better. That's how you put them up, you put yourself in a place of service. You can't serve people well if you don't know them well. It's like what my father did. The reason that he could serve people well in that little community was because he knew them.
Mm, really powerful stuff. You know, you've said that so many business owners aren't getting these three critical forms of proof, but you've shown us actually how to put systems in place to get that proof. Why aren't more businesses doing that? Are they just not aware of this? Or?
Well, I think a lot of them aren't aware. It's a great question. But there are a lot of businesses who are trying, but they're failing. And they're doing what we call survey suicide. They're leaving thousands on the table because of mistakes they're making. So I see so many businesses who think they can grab SurveyMonkey, grab a template from that, or just throw some questions together and put it all out there and it'll be fine. The problem is those templates don't give you stuff like this. And if you're just going to throw some questions together, you probably, if you're in Jim's community, you're listening to what you teach, Jim, you'd never think of just throwing a sales letter or a product together that way. And the survey is just as important a tool for connecting with people, for creating products or converting them, as that sales letter is. So my cousin Dwight lives in Houston, and they've got a saying in Texas, all hat and no cattle. SurveyMonkey is all tech and no talent. It's useless if you can't write a good survey that engages people instead of a bad survey that alienates them. So it's like, you know, if you are an HTML coder, you can be the best HTML coder in the world, but if you don't know how to make the message on the site connect with your customers and make it about their problems and their pain, you're not going to sell anything. It's the same thing here. So what I want to do is give people three critical skills that will let you avoid survey suicide, that will let this work for you. All right, skill number one is give to get. Always give people an incentive to take your survey. And I like the two-pronged incentive. Give everybody something cool like a special report or a free video, and give them a chance to win something more cool like a free iPod or an iPad or an Amazon gift card. A lot of times I'll give people a chance to win one of three $50 Amazon gift cards. That works great. So skill number one, give them something. Skill number two, ask good questions. Now, surveys are obviously about asking questions, but it's how you ask the questions that determines whether you make money or you kill your business. Your questions need to be clear. They need to be engaging. It needs to feel like a conversation. And here's a tip. Never start your survey with demographic questions. So, Jim, if I walked up to you at an event and I started the conversation by asking how old you were and how much money you made, our conversation's not going to go very far, and neither is your survey if you start with demographics. It's a big mistake I see people make all the time, and it's something I see in a lot of survey templates out there. Skill number three is listen. This is really important. Show your customers you're listening in two ways. Number one, give them a report on the survey results. Almost nobody does that, and inquiring minds want to know. They want to know what you found out. So take three things out of your survey and make at least one of those things something you're going to act on to help them, and then do a little video telling them about those three key findings. So reporting back, that's huge. Number two, show them you're putting the information to work. When you fix the problem they identified in your customer service or you get rid of that grumpy receptionist, tell them you fixed it. Thank them for telling you about the grumpy receptionist. When you create the product they want or the membership site they designed for you, show them how they helped you create it. What's going to happen when you do that is you're going to have gold because they're going to feel invested in you, invested in your business, in your products, and they're going to buy from you over and over and over again. So if you do those things, you're going to train people to take your surveys, and they're going to be happy to give you the business intelligence that's absolute gold.
Gene, this has been unbelievably valuable information. Definitely people should go right back to the beginning and listen to this again or read the transcript again. It's hugely powerful. Gene, you mentioned to me before, right before we got started, that you had some resources that you wanted to offer my folks.
I do. I've got a number of free resources, including the case study template that I talked about. I've got a little product creation thing that talks about how you can find out what your folks want and create the products for them. And, you know, because you are such a good friend, I'm actually going to even offer people a free strategy session, which is a $500 value. So if they go to mysurveyexpert.com/Jim's Resources, JimsResources, they can get all of these resources on one page and sign up for the strategy session.
That's awesome. So, Gene, thank you. That's very, very generous, by the way. Thank you so much. Give that URL just one more time, if you would.
Sure. It's www.mysurveyexpert, MYSURVEYEXPERT.com /Jim's Resources, JimsResources.
Awesome. Gene, this has been unbelievably, what an important man. This hour just flew by. Thank you very, very much for everything you shared. Hugely valuable information.
Thank you, Jim. It was great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with your folks.
I hope you enjoy this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my good friend, Dr. Gene Hurlburt. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.